Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey, and I'm looking for answers. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to have a good, well-lived life? This podcast is conversations with people that look like they have it sorted. My guest on the program is a maverick, and she's always been that way, including the time when life did not allow for that expression. Shari is a mindset coach and creative strategist. She's there to defrag the brain when you are stuck. She helps people find their unique path in all areas of life and well-being. But she did not start this way. Her current success is the product of 12 years of hard and intense work. Born into a Jewish community just outside New York, she followed the plan as she knew it and became the stay-at-home mum. But while it may have been pretty on the outside, the maverick was screaming and urging her to break free. Now, freedom comes with a cost, but the prize is worth having, and we get to hear that story. It is a journey that has given her some fantastic tools and allowed her to develop a unique zone of genius. She helps people to find the creative spark, inner drive, and individuality, all of the attributes needed to fuel success, meaning, and fulfillment. She does the deep work right alongside her clients and is not afraid to walk into the dark places. For Shari, every person has the potential to uncover and rediscover who they once were before they lost their spark. Now listen carefully, because this New York girl talks quick. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Shari Teagman. Welcome, Shari Teagman. I am delighted you are here today having a conversation with me. This is Life, Passion and Business. I have just knocked the tripod over, so it's going to make a crash in the room. Welcome, Shari. Thanks for coming here today.
Thank you for having me.
So to be fully honest, this is the second time we've done this recording because the first one just disappeared down a rabbit hole. So we are going to have to make it again, which is fine. But it does mean I'm forewarned and so is Shari of the questions and answers. But that we're just being fully open here on this conversation. Okay, so Life, Passion and Business. I started this podcast because my father died in February last year and I noticed... Yeah, he was an old man and he wanted to go. And I noticed the last 5 years of his life were very much a steady decline as the life force kind of drained out of him. And I recognized those similar symptoms in myself. And I thought, well, I need to do something about that. And so that's how the podcast was born, because I saw the opportunity to reach out to people who sort of knew what they were doing in life or looked like they knew what they're doing in life. Yeah, and I appreciate, you know, the outside and the inside is always very different. But I thought I would reach out and we would have that conversation. It's like, what is the answers? What is it about life? How does it work? So, Shari, how did you get to where you are? What is your story?
My story is an interesting one. So I like to say I don't know how I landed where I was, and then I don't know how I got out of it. People like to think that these paths that we take are some romanticized with a soundtrack background where we lift ourselves up magically out of where we don't want to be and we all just figure it out. I haven't yet seen that play out. If anyone knows that template, I'd love to download it or watch a webinar on it. But I found myself... and I will say literally found myself in a marriage I didn't belong in a life that did not feel like mine, with two beautiful children who I knew they were mine, very happily had two beautiful children, but really not feeling anything and feeling very numb and dead in my life. And while I didn't know where to go, I knew that I wanted more. So I chased that wanting more and uprooted my life. And along that road, found that it was not only for me, but also this was my purpose and this is the work that I'm meant to be doing. And again, like I said, when you're at the waterfall, it's always easy to summarize the path. It didn't happen as quickly as that 2-minute wrap-up version I just gave you. I wish it did.
So what was that? So come on, give us your child. So your childhood, you grew up where?
So I grew up right outside New York City in a small community. I grew up modern Orthodox Jewish and I grew up, you know, perfect mommy, Stepford wife, Stepford life, little bubble, which again was lovely and idyllic. And I loved every minute of it and appreciated it, but it just was a little too small for me to stay in. It just not where I belonged long term.
But did you know that at the time when you were living it?
I knew nothing. I was just really good. I don't do things halfway. So when I do it, I do things fully. And so I embraced it fully, you know, big Sabbath meals and Martha Stewart all the way. And I ran the kids' school. And I loved every minute of it until a period of time where that fuel ran out and I said, oh, wait a second, that was someone else's gas
in my tank. You were the soccer mom then. You were the soccer mom. You were there cheerleading.
Correct. And I still am in that way, but that's not my only role and I needed more for myself. So I thought I could just pick up and leave. And I love the movie Groundhog Day because I used to be just like him, it's a combination of Groundhog Day and Truman Show is really the way I like to see this is Truman looked around and he's like, okay, this whole life kind of feels really weird for me. And what he just wanted to walk out of the sky, step out and live a different life. And that was me. I didn't want to hurt anyone. I didn't want to change anything. I wanted to quietly and methodically walk out, but that doesn't actually pan out that way. So in a way, I'm very relieved. Although I had a lot of shame about it for a long time in that I was so naive, I thought it would all just work out. In the end, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because if I realized how challenging it was going to be, I'm not sure I would have been brave enough at that time without tools to be able to pull off what I pulled off, which was changing everything.
The strength to have that conversation?
I honestly, other than probably blocked out a lot of that stuff from that period of my life, I don't know how I had the strength. And again, it was because I was so naive and I guess it was my soul. I mean, not to sound hokey, but my soul did it. I didn't have the tools. So it definitely was not me as a person at that time.
Because it's like amazing. I just thinking about, as full disclosure, we've been down this journey an hour ago,
yes.
So that's why we're back here. So that's what occurred to me, and having been this conversation with you, how, you know, when you are that engaged in that process, and suddenly say, "Actually, I need to say this is not working for me anymore." How do you say that?
I honestly thought that it would be what everyone in the scenario wanted, and I thought that it would just stop. I thought it would just go away, and it didn't, and it turned into a very messy and torturous long divorce, a very dark road, a very hard time for everyone involved. And it's, you know, still to this day, no matter how much work I've done, it's still a large black stain on life. And it was a horrible time.
It is hard to imagine, isn't it, that one? Is that at some point in here, we loved each other at some point. And that and that's like, it's so difficult to remember that. And it's like, you know,
has become so far off of the, you know, and you know, not to be disrespectful to him, but I wasn't the right fit for either of us ever. And I think we both kind of pushed it in because that's what life was supposed to be like.
Yes. Well, that's the kind of culture you were in.
Yes, correct. And because it was the kind of culture, I didn't have the tools to look from the outside and say, you know, abort mission. This is not, you're heading in a direction that's someone else's road. So,
okay. So you're exiting a relationship which provides everything for you. And I'm imagining you were a stay at home mum. So you came out of that relationship and you don't have the tools. How are you going to make all this work?
Again,
how did you do it?
To the credit of my naivete, I just thought I would. I thought it would all work out. I had no semblance. I got married very young. It was my role right away. I had no idea. So what happened to me, ironically, was I had been running away from what I didn't want for so long and trying to get out that there was the adrenaline high of I'm going to do this. I'm going to get to safety. I'm going to get to freedom. I'm going to get to all those things. I didn't know what it would feel like once I actually got it. And that's when the lights went out. When I finally got out and moved out with my kids and we started our new life and all of that, and I felt safe again and free to a semblance, not to the degree I feel now, but the start of the freedom. That's when I looked around and said, oh, crap. I didn't regret leaving because it was the wrong place for me. I just didn't know what was next. I realize now what I didn't want to do was limit myself and get on another line that didn't belong to me. And that I kept suspended for a long time, which I'm proud of myself in and appreciate that. Now knowing what that was, but I didn't at the time, was I was tentatively waiting on the bench because I didn't want to get on the wrong bus. I didn't want to say, okay, now life looks like X, Y, Z, and it would be another wrong road. So I gave myself the healing time. I gave myself the ability to say, okay, my kids are the most important. I'm going to focus on them while I find out who I am and what I want to be. I had no idea where to look. So at that time, I couldn't handle even the silence of my own mind. So TV always had to be on, radio had to be on, something was always had to be with me. I was very lonely in myself, and I wasn't okay with finding out answers because I didn't know what questions to ask. So I randomly stumbled upon one of these personal development summits, and I was like, oh, what's this? I pressed play on Facebook, and it was a girl I went to high school with who I didn't even know so well. And I started to find out it wasn't just me. There were other people who asked questions that they didn't know the answers to, or questions they didn't know they were allowed to ask. And it just beautifully snowballed from there. I was like, oh, it's not just me. I can actually find the answers. And, you know, I then, short version is, then did my own coach training. I also did a yoga teacher training, and I got climbed back into my body, back into my soul. And I started to find out, go back to who I was when I was younger, with curiosity and creativity, and turning that belief system back on that life can be a wonderful thing. It doesn't have to be stuck because someone else put you in a role you didn't want to be in, or you chose to go into a role for safety.
Mm-hmm. So when you left this relationship, did you have any employment skills, life skills, that you could actually earn money, earn a living from?
At the time, I was, I still am an artist. So I was making some side money doing makeup artistry and some custom mosaic pieces. So, but again, it was more mommy hobbying, like, you know, baby gifts and like, like the school sale. I used to sell my stuff, nothing to the degree that would be able to pay my bills. So I was very blessed in the fact that I got spousal support and child support, as well as had money from my ex-husband buying me out of my house. But what it also did was created a split, because for someone I wanted nothing to do with, he was also the source of my food and sustenance, which really messed with my head for a long period of time of the strength of my independence, but it felt like a false independence. And it took me a long time to trust the floor on that, that I was going to be able to do this, because I had a lot of voices in my head telling me, from other people, you'll never be able to do this. Who do you think you are? You're a fraud. You're this. And so that was, I think, the biggest challenge of my growth, was to be able to step up and change those beliefs and those stories and prove something to myself that I didn't even know would be true or not.
So you discovered personal development and personal growth from this seeing a post somewhere, and you followed this journey.
Correct.
And that took you, that to put you on the path of learning to be a coach?
Yes. So I discovered it for myself. And then while discovering it, I would listen. And this isn't with ego of like, oh, I know everything. I just really knew a lot about this. So while I was listening and learning that there were names for things and there were processes and philosophies, I was like, this is just, I quietly in my mind was like, you know, I believe all of this stuff. I've been helping people, friends and things like that. People always, my whole life have come to me with this kind of stuff. My mom is the same way. I was like, I think there's something more to this. And so I looked into what it would look like to learn how to do this with other people. And I did a certification and I studied. And even within the certification, well, yes, I learned official ways to do things. Most of it intuitively for me was already there, which was beautiful, because I just got to play in what I didn't know was a thing. It's pretty cool.
And so you found yourself with these innate abilities that you actually already had them. It's interesting, like rediscovering what you, it's like affirming what you already had. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yes, and the dots got connected, which is a lot of what I do in my work, is connect dots for other people, because I don't believe that for most people it's as far away from where they think they are than it needs to be. I like to call it passion crumbs. We go backwards and find what are those little things that then make sense when you connect them to something else and turn the lights on. I'm like, oh, now I know where that fits, or now I know why that keeps showing up in my life, on and on and on.
So was this a process of discovering your passion at this point, or were you always passionate about this stuff?
I was, once the lights went on, I was full on passionate about it, but I just thought I was passionate about it because it was exciting and new. So I was like, well, this will wear off, you know, it's like a new toy, and it wasn't wearing off, and it just got better and better. And I realized I felt the most grounded and alive in this. And I'm like, okay, this is it. And that's when I almost turned the passion. I'm a passionate person by nature, but passion can also bring you down the wrong roads of fear and overwhelm and believing the fearful stories. So, you know, that passion and fire that I have in me can also be my worst enemy if it's not reined in. And I think people expect that those of us who are extroverted and excitable and always on to something and creative have it easier. A lot of times it's harder because we don't have the slow, refined detail, the problem solving, the test and retest. We don't do that. We just jump in. We quick start. We're visionaries. So visionaries are fun and wonderful to be around, but it's harder to sustain something when you're that because you don't have the staying power. You're not naturally inclined for it. So that, to me, is where the training comes from.
It's interesting you say that because Ketan Makwana, one of my early guests, he said that he got into the habit of writing checks that his body couldn't cash.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that a lovely phrase?
I love that. Wow.
But it, and I think that is a real symptom of people like yourself. It's like, you're like, yes, we'll do this. Correct. We'll do this. Oh, shit. How are we going to get that done?
Yeah. And people love to be around it because it is exciting. It is exciting to watch and witness. But, the roads don't, they have to lead somewhere. And that's where the growth is. So for some people.
Yeah. I have a couple of friends. Like that, and they leave car crashes behind in that process because they kind of surge off. Yeah.
Exactly. And the visionaries need the implementers, where implementers are more, they're too tentative. So they need the fire starters to light the fire under. They're asked to say, okay, get off the fence, pick something and try it. You know, there are pros and cons to every sort of personality, and it's really finding your own formula. Yeah. Not someone else's formula, your own formula to what am I feeling? What is working for me? What do I want more of? What do I want less of? On repeat over and over and over again.
Yeah. I'm learning that one as well. For me, it took me years to realize that not choosing was a choice.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, because it's easier and it's not even from a, you know, I always call that's like the precursor to victimization because you're not wanting to be a victim. No one wants to be stuck by choice, but it's in that inaction that the momentum is impossible. So you have the excuse of if I only had more gas in the tank, if I only had a GPS that told me where to go, then of course I would choose the way to go. I wouldn't choose to be here if I didn't have to. Really? And it's humbling. It's a humbling and sometimes embarrassing thing to admit, which is why I think that keeping a sense of humor is massive with personal development because it doesn't have to hurt as much to get unstuck as it hurt to get stuck. But that doesn't mean it's always a pretty process.
So you started you are a coach, you provide these services. Who do you help? What is it that you provide people?
So I work with people in their lives and businesses, which is true to me because people always say, don't you have to choose one? And I don't do things I'm supposed to do. So the answer is no, I do what works for me and the people that I serve. Because I really believe that life and business scaffold one on each other. So it doesn't mean, I mean, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs currently, but I also work with people who are not entrepreneurs who work for other people or don't work at all, different stages of life. For me, it's about creating a maverick life. And maverick to me comes from the source of Carl Jung's archetypes. And maverick is really, to me, that bold, unapologetic you. Doesn't mean you have to be the loudest in the room. It doesn't mean you have to be anti everyone else. It's not about being a rogue and being, you know, fighting against the system. It's just about what you want in your life, methodically building it with on your terms without needing permission. So I like to help people find that in themselves and turn all the lights back on. And people, I've had people within the first few sessions quit jobs, change relationships, rekindle things. You know, it's not in one area because we don't compartmentalize as much as we like to think that we do. A lot of people will focus on the areas of life that are the easy ones to change because then they can feel like they're being busy with something, but they're not actually diving into the things that they need help with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the busy aspect of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So what is success for you? Because we got this image of, I mean, obviously when you grew up in your community, success would have been marriage, children, and so on. And, you know, we all have this Correct. Image of success. I've had the image of success in my early years of the car, the house, and so on. And I have to say it doesn't actually apply anymore. But what is success for you Yes. now?
So I think for success for me really comes from the freedom of deciding what my life can look like, that life and business design on my terms. Because on paper, if I look at the old me, I was successful. People were very surprised that I didn't love what I had. I had, you know, my bills were paid for me. It looked pretty from the outside. I had a big house. I had all of the things, quote unquote, that you're supposed to want, and it wasn't what I wanted. So it's a very intentional, conscious way of what do I want? What does it enable to me to have and be in my life on a day-to-day basis? Am I being true to myself? Am I stopping to ask permission? Am I not waiting my turn? So it almost doesn't matter what the number is to me, because the financial numbers, I've had it, I've not had it, I'm building it again. You know, it doesn't mean what it means to other people. So it's really, to me, defining what the importance of things are in your life, relationships, love, work, money, and sticking to your guns on what those mean, not having them redefined or changed by outside society. So again, it doesn't mean you have to be rogue. It means you have to do what works for you on a day-to-day basis, not in rejection of what other people want, but in a collaborative way of, this is who I am in the world. This is what I have to offer. If it works for you, great. Come along my ride. If not, I'm not going to wait for my permission.
What I've noticed in terms of all the conversations I've had in the last 6 months or so, or 5 months or so, is that success for people is different. Everyone has a different meaning of success. But also, it's not a fixed goal. Success changes throughout life.
Yeah, what worries me when people think that it is a fixed goal is that they fixate on that goal. So then they don't allow themselves the horizontal expansion of who you become along that journey. So sure, it's great to have a destination to want to go to, but make sure you give yourself the wiggle room to smell the roses on the side. Change course if you find something else. Allow yourself to develop along that road of success, because many people who get so binary in that road actually get to that destination they thought was the one, and then they don't feel anything. And that's when they start to have more issues, because they get derailed by what they don't know what to do now, because it didn't work the way it was supposed to. But I set my course to be A, B, and C, and that didn't work. So then they start doubting themselves. They start doubting their passion, their motivations, their own reality, the labels of the world. That's how many of my clients get to where they are.
Okay, so you are clearly passionate. And what would you say was the catalyst to get you to refocus on that passion? And what was it that triggered it for you?
I think how numb I became, because I am so naturally passionate. It scared me more that I felt nothing than it would probably someone who's medium passion. Because I'm so fiery, I noticed when the fire was gone far faster. Well, not fast enough, but far more dramatically, I should say, than someone who just ticks along regular life, happy to be complacent. I was like, where am I? I don't feel anything. And that scared the living hell out of me.
Mm-hmm. And for people who are looking to recapture their passion now, what kind of a simple advice would you give people?
So I think that it's a deeper process than people think that it is, because I think when they go on that search, they just spin faster. Naturally, people, when they're driven for something, they don't take the short route. It's like, okay, let me learn the most efficient, quick way to get there. I'm just going to press go, and then I'll figure it out on the way. And I'm not saying action is not important. Of course it is. But I think we need to slow down before we speed up. You need to intentionally find out. And again, this is not the sexy, fun part of this stuff. Find out where you derailed. Find out when was the last time you felt anything. Tell yourself the truth about this, because the more nuggets you have about where you are on the map and how you got here and what the triggers, thoughts, habits, beliefs, and patterns are that have gotten you off where you wanted to be or further away from where you want to be, will be the response so you don't do this again. So it's giving you the tools in your toolbox to actually be able to assess as you go and say, oh, whoops, slipped again, rather than needing to fall all the way off the wagon again. So slowing down the spinning, finding out where it is you want to be. You may not know, but for me, a lot of people don't know where they want to go. So I don't actually like to, at the start, say to someone, where do you want to be? Because that's only an answer from their fearful, overwhelmed, small self of wanting to be somewhere else. So don't pick a destination at that point. Get into a better state of mind, a more positive or at least neutral place, and then start setting destinations. So for me, it goes to the emotion. What do you want to be feeling? What do you want to be believing? Who do you want to be on that road? From there, you can set whatever goal you want, but only put that first. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be on that road? And then what do you want it to look like?
It's a journey though, isn't it? It's not a question of taking a passion pill.
No. I wish it was, but you know what? I change every single day. I am not the same person I was yesterday. I will not be the same person tomorrow. And that's not to scare anyone, but it's when you get comfortable with the discomfort of the growing pains, you start to crave it in a healthy, addictive way. It becomes exciting. It's exhilarating to always allow growth so that you don't stifle where you want to go just by picking another line that has someone else's rules on it because you got off the first line. I don't want a shorter line.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And because every journey is different and there are thousands of journeys and, and no one, you can't copy someone else's journey. That's what it's very clear. It's becoming very clear when I'm talking to people.
Yes. And it's refreshing to hear because a lot of people are afraid to say it out loud because they look around and say, is it just me? It has to be me. Why can I ever be satisfied? It's not that. Satisfaction does not come in a four-step process with a bow on top. It's most people are living a life where they're pretending a lot of things. And it's not that it's, I'm not judging it as not okay. It's where they are, but it's okay to not be thrilled everywhere. It gives you the growth to teach your children to want more, to go chase happiness, to find what you want, even if not everyone in the world loves what you want to be doing.
Well, and society in a way has kind of created this process of social media and ultimate consumption, which basically gets people out of their heads into being mesmerized by the consumption around them, which means they don't actually have to engage with the problem thoughts. They can just distract themselves to their grave, effectively.
And there's also been this strange thing in society when you see other people doing things, we think it's contagious. We think that if someone else is doing something, then we're on it because we're witness to them. This voyeuristic thing either, you know, makes us feel worse about where we are or where we aren't. The comparisonitis thing is a whole nother conversation. But it's also, well, just because someone else is doing it and you're part of their process or you're following theirs, it's you're not internalizing the change. You're not making it yours. You're not doing it your way. It is really confusing because we are, have windows into so many people's, well, versions of their lives that they want to be showing us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we got to that point where I asked this open question, and I do this so that people have the opportunity to say effectively what they like. So is there anything that I haven't asked you that I should have done?
So I think the one question would be, trying to think how to phrase this. I think people, the question I hear a lot is, well, at what point did you just know? So my answer was, I still don't know. And that's, again, not to scare anyone, but just because I'm further along than where I was, just because people get inspired by the work that I do, the people, the help that I change, I help facilitate change in other people. I don't do the work. They do the work. What I'm comfortable around, what I'm comfortable saying and being publicly and vulnerably, it doesn't mean I don't get scared. It doesn't mean I don't get sick. It doesn't mean that I don't get stuck in my old thought patterns and afraid of what people think of me and struggle with family and struggle with friends and struggle with my place in the world. I'm as human as everyone else. And I want people to be really mindful about putting anyone on a pedestal because everyone's just on a journey. My dad would say everyone shits the same way, puts their pants on the same way, puts, you know, it's 1 foot at a time. And so you can be inspired by someone's journey, but tap back into yourself about what is it that inspires you back to yourself. What is it mirroring in you that you want? That's all this is. If it wasn't something that you wanted for yourself, people wouldn't notice what I do. They wouldn't notice what you do. They'd be watching someone else. Or they'd be watching paint dry or whatever. So we're surrounded by messages all day long that give us the ability to nudge ahead or get stuck backwards. So use them all as clues on the scavenger hunt for yourself rather than that's her, she has X, Y, and Z, and that's why, or she looks like that, or he does this, or well, someone else is paying his bills. It doesn't matter what everyone else's framework is. Everyone has high high points and everyone has low points. So yes. I really want to be very mindful to point that out. If I spoke to myself 8 years ago, I think one of the things I'm very big on with my content and with my work and even just how I speak is to always check back in with myself. If the me of 8 years ago would listen to myself, would I understand what the hell I was talking about? And that's a real good gauge for me, because a lot of times I catch myself and say, wait a second, I live in this all day long. These are the kind of conversations I have, but I have to remember I'm far more advanced than a lot of people with this stuff. So I have to be sure not to be making assumptions about what people feel, what do they know, what are they aware of? And that's very humbling.
Mm-hmm. It keeps me Absolutely. In check. Yeah. It's funny you say that. I have noticed in myself is that there are lots of times I don't react to stuff, but if I'm watching something like the London Marathon or Olympics and I see someone, you know, someone achieving at that point, I can get really tearful. Yeah. It can really tap into me, that sense of, you know, their moment. They've been working yes. towards this moment and they crossed the line and, you know, they've done it. And it's like, and I can get really tearful over that. And I have no idea why it affects me so much.
Well, I mean, it's many of us who are into this because we spend time in people's minds and hearts. And again, like the more aware you are, the more passionate you are, I think many of us have a lot of, it's a real empathic sort of thing. So it's not just empathy. It's this deeper feeling and knowing, because you know what it takes to create change and to turn the lights back on in your own life. I feel that you can recognize that in other people. You immediately go back on the timeline to when they couldn't run a mile. You know, even if it's just running a story in your head, I love people watching for this reason because I play in that headspace. And create a story of, you can feel the emotions of their exhilaration, of their frustration, of their fear, of their accomplishment. So it's tear inducing because you're seeing the human side, you're feeling the soul side of who they are, where they've been, what it took to get there, rather than just saying, oh, well, they trained. Yeah, but training takes a lot out of you. It's not an easy process. Yes. And it's not linear. So the more time we spend in areas like this, the more we trust the fact that we're all on very similar journeys and it's okay to witness yeah. each other. It's more than okay. It makes it a beautiful process.
So my final question for you is, what is the meaning of life for you?
So I think the meaning of life for me really comes down to who you want to be along the to-do lists. You know, the example I always love to use is, you'll see two street cleaners. One is dancing with music in his ears and looks like he won the lottery. And the other guy looks so miserable as though he is on a jail sentence. They have the same experience. They have the same job. They have all these sort of objectively same things on their CV and their paper. And yet their attitude towards it is very different. We can all get the achievements in life and still not feel anything. And I've experienced that myself, and I've watched a lot of people, just because on paper they have what other people would want, they beat themselves up because they don't feel anything. So for me, the meaning of life is finding out the meaning of the being part before worrying about the doing. Most people look at it the opposite. They think once they have this, then they'll be able to feel this. If this, then that. That's not the way it works. It works the opposite.
Yeah, because we've got this sense of life. Well, the question was born for me out of this thing about, you know, we eat, we drink, we have sex, we have children, we have families, we buy houses, and we have business and make money.
Yes.
And I kind of go, well, is that it?
Yeah.
Is that all there is to it?
Yeah. And then when you get to the end of the race and you catch your breath and you look around, you're like, wait a second, I have everything I wanted and I still have nothing. So now what do I do? That's when a lot of people fall. It doesn't have to be from a crisis or an illness that people go down this road. It's mostly that unsexy, dull malaise of like, oh shit, is this really all there is? Now what the hell am I going to do?
And the answer to that is?
To me, it's about assessing and going backwards, because we don't know when we derail. So we can't keep pushing forward if we don't know where we are. Not easy, not pretty, but it's to me, the only path forward is to go back, trace back your steps, figure out what happened, and then course correct. Otherwise, you're just running on someone else's track.
Well, this is a conversation that we could have going on and on yes. and on, and I think we have to draw a line. I am delighted that you took the time to be with me today, Shari. Could you Levy, how would people get in touch with you if they want to get a little bit of Shari?
Sure. So I am easiest found on Facebook and Instagram at Shari D. Teigman. My business page is where I'm most active. Do a daily shot of Shari, video every day. My events, my programs, freebies, all of that, updates are on there. So it's easiest way to find me. My website is currently being revamped. I'm changing up the structure of my business to help more people, more hands off, and give people more the empowerment of doing the work on their own rather than waiting for a magic pill from a magic coach, which I don't believe in. Although I adore my work, I want to be moving people faster on their own pace rather than on my timeline. Walking my talk and growing in my own business as well, which is scary and exciting. That's really the best way to find me. And if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to, you know, shoot me up, find me on my website or on my website, shariteigman.com. Find me on my business page. Introduce yourself. I love meeting new people. There's no slimy sales pitches. I just love connection. I also have a podcast as well called The Shamble Show. You can find it on iTunes and Stitcher. I have another podcast about to launch. Lots of exciting things coming down the lane.
Wow. Well, so thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you for having me.
That was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest Shari Teigman. As with all of my guests, you will find their contact details at lifepassionandbusiness.com underneath the relevant podcast. And here's just a quick reminder that there will be a second show every Friday with my co-host Lisa Avery, where we bring out the tools and explore what it takes to lead the life you want. So thanks for listening, and I will catch you later.